Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I am J.L. Covan, and I'm here, as always, with my trusty sidekick and basically doing a touchdown dance right now.
Prophet of the future.
It's Mike, producer Mike. Hello.
Hi, everybody. Hi, J.L. How's it going? What's going on?
Well, we're a country in transition, and we're going to get to that later.
We sure are. Where are they, them?
I am wearing a Biden-Harris shirt. But now it's really a Harris shirt.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I Twisters, did you see it this weekend, Mike?
No, I didn't.
No, it's, you know, I've quickly gone from intrigued by Glenn Powell to get this guy off my screen.
Yeah.
In record time.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought his movie Hitman, I think he acted admirably in it, but it was overrated.
Mm-hmm.
But I find him fascinating because it's sort of like he's like the off-brand Matthew McConaughey. Like he's going for that.
Is he?
He's from Texas. Yeah, okay. He's fit. He wants to be Tom Cruise, and that's where he's going to err because there will never be another Tom Cruise.
Right. Unrepeatable.
And not only because of who Tom Cruise is, but because of the landscape for Hollywood.
Yeah.
There's no more Tom Cruises being made.
Agreed. Yeah.
And it would be very difficult, even if they were being made, for you to be a Tom Cruise. So he should already come out. Matthew McConaughey is a good target, but there's something. Matthew McConaughey looks like a guy, even though I know he works out and all that, but there's something about him that felt more authentic. Like, I got Jack cutting wood.
Yeah. Like, sure.
I took acting classes and I did construction and just didn't need to join a gym. Just got buff on my own.
Just some push-ups in the living room, brother.
Even though that's not true. Whereas Glenn Powell feels like he's more of a Mark Wahlberg. Here's my daily schedule. It begins with prayer and pull-ups.
Ugh, yeah.
How bad is Mark Wahlberg, by the way?
Oh my God, is he awful. Did you see that prayer commercial on the Super Bowl? It's just so annoying. Oh my God.
The guilt has finally caught up to him for maiming an Asian immigrant.
Yes.
That's what
the guy's blind.
Oh, we're laughing. To quote Ron Burgundy, we are laughing. Immigrants maimed.
Oh my God.
But he's taken this weird pivot where he wants to be the action guy, but now he's doing a lot more family stuff and doing prayer apps.
Yeah.
And he's like taking on like Mel Gibson as like a Catholic mentor.
Yeah, dude.
It's weird.
Wahlberg is so weird. Wahlberg is really, really weird. And he is just like, that is the funny thing about it. It's got to be driven by his troubled past because he was such a Southie trash heap for so long. And I don't know. He's one of these guys that now I just don't believe him at all. And that's the one thing I will say about Glenn Powell. He seems like a nice kid.
He's like a year older than you.
Yeah, okay. But still, he seems like a nice enough guy.
No,
like,
he probably is. And it's not even that. But there's something to McConaughey feels more authentic. Like he's the CrossFit.
Yeah.
He's the CrossFit and $200 haircut McConaughey.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas McConaughey is I just woke up like
this. Yeah, right.
But that's the future of stardom. It's going to be Glenn Powell versus Timothy Chalamet.
Yep, I know.
You know, versus maybe Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, they're
what's
different.
What's he doing?
I think he's doing some behind the scenes stuff.
I think he's doing roids is what I think.
They all are. I mean, dude, Jeremy Allen White, are you kidding? Jeremy Allen White is stacked to a degree where he has to be doing
but he's
steroids.
So little. It's like funny.
He's very muscular.
Yeah, but it's like, I feel like it's easier. Like
it's
not. He's like 5'5". So he can get buff.
Yeah, but
he can get bulky. It looks bulkier quicker.
Yeah, but I think it's harder to actually get that jacked usually when you're that small.
Well, the king of the what the fuck are you doing is Zac Efron.
Who can't help himself.
In the iron claw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Jeremy Allen White. It's like you might want to hit the gym a little bit more. You're next to fucking Lex Luger over here.
I know.
I was laughing next to Laura during the Iron Claw because it wasn't even his hair. I was just like, he is bodybuilder, shredded and big.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not, this isn't an exact, like, he just got himself into bodybuilder shape.
Yeah.
And it's very weird. And then he was in that horrible movie that we reviewed, yep. I think, last week.
Yeah, 2 weeks
ago. 2 weeks
ago?
Where he's now just committed to, like, I guess I'm just going to not eat carbs
yep.
and lift 6 hours a day.
Yep.
It's very strange. I think that's another compensation. His face got jacked up. Yeah. So now he's like, I got to draw attention away from my once
I'm a monster.
Buster Bluth Efron. But yeah, Glenn Powell, I think, speaks to where we're going. You know, Matt Rife is going to be the biggest comic in the world. Glenn Powell is going to be the biggest movie star in the world. And Toblerone is going to be the biggest music star.
Yeah. Wait, Toblerone is
Chapel. That was my Chapel Rone
right?
Joke.
Yeah.
I don't even.
It's
know
a bit
about
of a reach,
them.
But yeah.
No, I don't. It's not that much of a reach. Good pun work.
It's a little reach.
It's well in the Trump world that would be. don't we love the songs of Toblerone? You know, they get that big triangle chocolate. But I just think, you know, it's just culture is degrading all around us.
Agreed.
Meanwhile, every friend who I've talked to about the movie Thelma has loved it. And this is a movie. Have you seen Thelma?
No.
It's amazing. It's really good. How old are your parents?
My mom is about to turn 60.
Oh, jeez.
This week, Thursday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy. And the episode comes out on her birthday. Buy a gift, Mike's dad, if you're still listening. So.
Oh, my God. You know him so well.
But this movie, Thelma, is a movie that I think in a different era would have made would have been a sleeper hit, like a Greek Wedding or something like that.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah. It's so good. It's made like $8 million, but it only costs like $3 million. So it is a like profitable movie, but it's about this 93-year-old grandmother who like gets ripped off on like a phone scam.
Oh yeah. 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 I did see the trailer for this.
Yeah. I've seen it twice.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's good.
I wouldn't have seen it twice, but I took my mom to see it after I'd already seen it.
Right.
But it's so funny.
Yeah.
And like so respectful of the elderly at the same time, like plays them for laughs, but also like tremendously respectful.
Yeah.
It's just one of those movies that once again makes me think, yeah, this is like in a different time. This would have been, you know, I feel like, I think we've talked about this before, and then we can move on to bashing the bear. But
is that what we're doing?
And X-Men 97. But it's movies have become so disposable.
Yeah.
The reason movies are revered is because they were an event, a cheap event.
Yeah.
But an event, a thing you went to.
It's like you went like once a weekend almost.
Sure, but it's still a thing.
No. What I'm saying. It was like part of your life to go out and see the big movie that weekend.
Right.
Like whatever that happened to be, you know?
Yeah. And that's movies. But now we're sort of in this, like, I can just watch it at home. But they're becoming like apps. They're becoming closer to apps. Like I watched that, got rid of that. Pretty good. Okay. And the art is being completely lost. And I completely sympathize with artists who are like, release it in the theater.
Yeah.
Like make it count, make it worthwhile. Viggo Mortensen was in an article recently bashing Amazon for releasing 13 Lives on streaming. That movie was phenomenal. And you'd think Ron Howard directing, Viggo Mortensen and Colin Farrell co-starring. Yeah. That's a theatrical release level movie.
Yeah.
No, streaming had no campaign, whatever. But Thelma is a movie that would have been like a real hit and not just like a on the margins. It's a financial success. But nobody gives a shit. And when it goes on streaming, it'll be on Netflix top 10 for 2 weeks. And people are like, have you seen Thelma? And we'll forget about it.
Yeah.
It'll just be gone. And it's just all this shit makes me just so scared.
Yeah.
For the few, because nothing will matter. The nihilists will win.
Yes.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. Well, I'll tell you who didn't win. X-Men 97.
This is insane that you're saying this.
It's been greatly reviewed. Everybody on my feed was like, X-Men 97 is incredible. And I was like, oh, okay. Now, I realized that everybody saying it was incredible is leaning in, I think, to the nostalgia and like building off of whatever. I just was like, is it good? I'm not familiar with the product. I'm aware of the X-Men. I've seen the adult movies, the real movies.
Did you read the comic books though?
No. Okay. But I liked the X-Men movies.
Yeah, those are not the same.
No, no, of course. But this idea of like when you said tell the world X-Men 97 is great, and when it gets nominated for an Emmy for Best Animated Series, that's sort of a broader validation than like, oh, you didn't read the source material and go to the conventions? Well, you're going to have trouble with this one.
Well, no, I don't. All right. So I don't think it's as simple as that. But I do think that.
Simple Jack.
X-Men 97 is a continuation of the original X-Men cartoon that was on, I guess it was Fox. And then obviously when Disney bought it, it came over to in the Fox deal. And they rebooted it all these years later. And so there is a nostalgia factor to the cartoon from when it was on television in the 90s. Right. But there is also... It is very true to like the comic books. And in the 90s, okay, the X-Men were the big property for the Marvel comic.
Sorry,
universe.
I was more of a God's Property by Kirk Franklin fan.
Okay, great. Well,
thank you.
GP,
are you with me?
So I don't think you need to be reading the source material and whatever. But yes, there is a nostalgia factor. But I think that it is, there are things that have come out that have a nostalgia factor to things that were around when I was a kid.
Right.
And I have thought that they were bad. So to me, maybe it's part of it, but I do think it still has to be a good product, because otherwise if the story is bad, and I mean, like, to me, it hits the tone of the original perfectly.
Okay.
It's all the original voice actors. And to me, it's a great continuation of the story. And it's honestly, it's a very good soap opera.
But the way you're describing it to me, I'm happy for you and your fellow shut-ins who enjoy X-Men 97. But I'm feeling much better about abandoning it, because I was like, oh, what if it gets really good? And I was like, but from the jump, I was just like, I feel like I'm jumping into something
that you just
midway.
Don't know. Yeah. Well, you kind of are. It's the fourth season of the show.
It's kind of cheesy. It's a little cheesy. It's a little like kid-like, even though there's a lot of violence.
Show. Yeah.
But it's rated like TV 13. So it's not TVG, or like it's suggesting it's not Invincible, which I assume you've watched.
I haven't watched Invincible. I know people like it.
Season one is amazing. Yeah. I was not familiar at all with that.
Yeah,
season
yeah.
two, I thought was not so great. Speaking of which, I wrote an entire blog about The Boys season four. Check it out when you're done whenever you catch up to The Boys. Not a great season four. But X-Men 97, you know, I wish people would just put a disclaimer. Like, I sometimes put disclaimers on things when I feel like it's a niche interest. Like, hey,
yeah.
I'll say something like to somebody, like, if you're not into fucking dragons and magic,
right,
like, then I'm not going to tell you you must watch Game of Thrones.
You
might just be completely averse to the whole concept.
But yeah, but that's kind of the thing. It's
but
like
X-Men, they were just like stating blankly, like, oh my, this might be the best X-Men thing that's ever been done.
It might be. I'm serious. The X-Men movies are not good.
I liked one, I liked two, and I liked the first of when they went back like as younger. They are good movies.
First Class?
Yeah.
First Class sucks.
No.
They're bad movies.
They're not.
They're
not bad
X2
movies.
X2 is pretty good. The first X-Men's cool because it's like, wow, it's an X-Men movie.
Yeah.
But the other ones are like, they're like
most
hard
of them
to watch.
Most of them stink.
Yeah.
But I will stand by First Class. I really liked First Class. But once again, I watched it as a movie, not as, are you validating my childhood?
Right. Well, again, this is the caveat. Like, if you're like, obviously they bet on these big.
Are the X-Men your favorites?
No.
What's your favorite comic?
Spider-Man and Batman, or Batman's DC, obviously, but Spider-Man and Batman. I like the X-Men a lot. I mean, I read
real deep cuts there, Mike.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't need Spider-Man is great for a reason, you know? Yeah. And then I love the Avengers, but that sounds like it's going to be like, of course I'm saying that because the Avengers movies are so big, but I was always a big Avenger. My dad loved the Avengers. So I was a big, and the Fantastic Four, but. And I like there's very few Marvel comics that are like in the forefront that I don't like. But again, these things, it helps if you read these things and like them.
Sure.
You know, you're going to like an X-Men cartoon more if you read the books.
I think I bought like very, very few comics. I went through a phase where I bought comics and my mom would, you know, very often kind of say, those are for idiots as I was reading them, like read a real book.
Yeah,
but
not fair.
No, I'm just
I know.
You know,
I was a messenger.
I was a mature five. She could talk to me like that. But I just never got it. I liked the ones that I remember. I remember I had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle graphic novels.
They're good.
When I was like 11.
Yeah.
Those were like awesome, dark. And that, yeah, it was like violent. That's the cool thing about Ninja Turtles. And then we'll move off this because I know you probably saw like Kamala Harris in the title of the episode. And it's like, what is this? Yeah. What is
Ninja
this?
Turtles.
Did they upload the wrong episode? How do I turn off YouTube?
You, hey man, you open Pandora's box with this X-Men 97. Anyway.
But the Ninja Turtles, it's kind of funny because they have so many different ways they can go. They've established so many different like brands of the Ninja Turtle. Like they, I think somebody had said they might be doing like a violent, like a real violent version, like, you know, at some point, which would be cool.
Yeah.
Just to see that.
Well, you know, it's also a controversial take. The first live action Ninja Turtle
from like 90
is great.
I saw it twice in the theater.
It's really good.
I loved it.
Like really, really good. It's like an adult movie that's not too like violent and bloody. Like it's an adult movie that kids can still watch.
No, I really liked it. And then I liked I couldn't believe that I actually liked the first Michael Bay one. Because I thought it was going to be terrible. Yeah. But it's like Michael Bay is one of those guys who is so visually talented as a director.
Agreed, yeah.
That like it looked like he makes movies. Even his bad movies are like stunning visually. Like Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain's great.
I hated that movie.
Did you?
Because the tone.
I think that's like one of his best movies.
The tone was so goofy. And then the end, they're like, he got the electric chair.
Yeah,
whoa,
right,
what
right.
the fuck?
Right, right.
This took a dark turn. It's like. Because in real life, they were fucking like scammers and murderers, but it had this like comedic tone to it.
Yeah.
Like Dog Day, like Dog Day Afternoon didn't have like a comedic tone to it. This had like a, but visually there were shots where I was like, wow, Michael Bay is just like, who gives a fuck what the script says?
Yes.
Look.
Yeah.
Look.
Famously. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's great at it.
And he, the first Ninja Turtles was very good. And I feel bad. A guy on social media one time, I was bashing it because I was like, look at this garbage. And he was like, I went with my son and it was actually pretty good. I was like, oh, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And then I saw it on like on streaming. And I was like, it actually was very good. I couldn't find that guy to give him a full apology, but I wanted to be like, you were right. You're right. And thank you for telling me that.
Yeah.
But the bear, and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah.
No, then we'll get to the main topic. The bear, I just finished season 3 of The Bear. The Bear is one of those shows that has gotten to that level where it's like, I think this is good TV. I think I'm supposed to think this is like elite TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like people run through there. It's like, I want to be somebody who likes The Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to be the type of person who says The Bear is a great show.
Yeah.
It's made now for those people. It's giving you like
fake prestige.
It's jerking. It's Patrick Bateman having sex, but staring at himself in the mirror, flexing.
Yeah.
American Psycho.
I am.
Okay, good. It's this third season, like season 2 had some highlights that were truly exceptional. This season had almost no highlights and was just like, why am I watching? Like I told Laura, I said, I'm out on The Bear after this season. Like, I don't, just tell me what happens. For my curiosity, tell me how things work out, but I don't need to like invest any time experiencing The Bear anymore. But it's nominated for best comedy, which is, you know, as I've said on other people's podcasts, it continues our trend of just taking a huge fucking shit on what comedy is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fleabag, Schitt's Creek, Ted Lasso, The Bear. Wow, what an unbelievable collection. There's like 7 laughs between those 4 shows. But anyway, don't watch The Bear, everybody. Don't give it good streaming numbers. Hopefully they'll cancel it.
You're on Don't Watch The Bear Island.
Yeah. I mean, it's the truth. I see the difference, and it's a subtle difference, but I see the difference between this is a good show and I'm the type of person who says this is a good show. It's Jump, the pretentious shark.
Yeah.
It loves itself. It's very self-aware. It's become the singularity. It's now merged. It understands itself and what makes itself good.
Right.
And just like hammers you with that. Like the first episode had like almost no dialogue. And I was just like, yeah, the screenwriter was just like with one hand typing, cut, 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 flashback, flashback, and beating off with his other hand. That's what it felt like. So if you like The Bear, congratulations, you're wrong. Now we're going to get to some serious shit. If you've stuck with us through this, there's like 10 people who've stuck through it and are like going to comment the fuck out of the episode with like, dude, X-Men 97 jail, amazing. But we're going to talk about a little lady named Kamala Harris and what she means to the presidential race of 2024 right after this break. And we're back. And Mike, how was your break?
Fabulous, as always. My favorite part of the show.
Nice. Well, now we're going to get serious because that's what the people have been responding to. The baseball episode is still a bust.
Yep.
But boy, oh boy, do they like the politics talk.
Well, I mean, it's
and
election time.
And lawyer talk. That episode is like a top five episode on YouTube.
All right. Okay, fine.
But we had a big shakeup again. I mean, it's happening too fast.
Yeah, it is happening pretty fast. I wasn't expecting it to happen at all, to be honest. But you know,
it's Joe Biden, 46th president of the United States, as everybody knows by now, has decided to not run again after being, I think, a combination of common sense, financial pressure, and media lynch mob. Sure. And I say those three things because they're all valid. I think Joe Biden had to partly come to a conclusion like, you know, I got COVID and I don't have the energy to win this. And I don't want it to be on my conscience that I lost after I was the guy who beat him and prevented him from a second term. But I also think obviously the donors, which you wish it was a little classier and less hoary than this. But it was just like, no more money unless you pick somebody else.
Yeah, but you would, but you'd also wish that he would have had this thought process a year ago.
Yep.
When he had a chance to, you know how I feel about this situation. I've been this for a while.
But the thing is, the debate, you know, was an earth-changing event because his State of the Union was, if you recall, was the first test. That was going to be a test because they were calling him old and calling him a piece of shit and whatever. And he crushed it. Yes, it's prepared, but he had ad libs as well. His energy looked good. The speech was well received. It was so he did. I think the thing that people don't realize maybe and why they should see Thelma is that 80 to 81 isn't 43 to 44. 78 to 82 is not 38 to 42. It's every day potentially is a cliff. You can fall off a cliff or you can deteriorate pretty rapidly. And doing that while as president is like, there is no greater double whammy than president and being in your 80s. That said, I felt like the media storm around this, it was like a gross feeding frenzy. I didn't think it was dignified. It's a huge story. Don't get me wrong. If the people want the president to step down, it's a big story. But it's almost like they didn't have enough shit on Biden for 4 years to generate Trump-level mania, whereas Trump every day was like, should he be kicked out of office for that? Another person says he raped them. Like, Trump is a nonstop barrage of 10 out of 10 scandal stories.
Yeah.
Whereas Biden, this was kind of one of the first, obviously his son has his issues, but Biden has been like, you know, everything's been really on policy and decisions in the office. There's no extra shit around him. But they really were like, you know, it's like you threw the chum in the water and they all, you know, so I would say, I think he made the right decision, even though I spent probably a good 10% of our total time as podcasting together discussing why Joe Biden was the right man for the country. Don't I have insure on my face? But now we've got Vice President Kamala Harris. And Mike, you're mostly Italian, so why don't you give us your opinion on the black lady first?
Okay, let me put on my glasses so I look extra smart talking about this, like Scaramucci said.
Listen, Mike, I put my glasses on. They don't think that I'm a dumb Tony Manero from down on the block, you know, walking in with my polyester suit.
So, you know, how do I feel about Kamala Harris?
Kamala. I said the same thing to my mom.
Yeah,
you're a mostly Italian white guy. There's going to be a lot of intentional mispronunciation of Kamala Harris's name in the next few months.
Was not what I
did. No. And I'm saying, I'm just like I said to my 80-year-old Irish mom, if you say it wrong, somebody might be like, oh, what are you, some Trump-loving guy who can't say the vice president's name right? So I'm just telling you so that nobody confuses you. You feel like, hey, Kamala, I'm a ding-dong.
Yeah.
Kamala. All right, well, Camelot. What's up? What's up?
The way that I feel about the current vice president of the United States,
Kamala Harris,
is that I'm conflicted. I feel that this entire situation, first off, I feel the cards are really stacked against her. The deck is really stacked against her because I think Trump is a difficult candidate to beat with a year. Of time to run a campaign. And I think she would have had a much better chance to do that, even though it doesn't seem like the White House has a lot of faith in her, to be honest. It almost felt like, we've talked about this, I think, on the show in the past, but it didn't seem like Biden had a relationship with her.
Right.
And that makes me feel like she was just sort of used in the last election to capture a certain type of vote. And I think at a certain point, I bet there will be books written about this that sort of prove that to be true. So I do feel like we're putting somebody that might have been used as a pawn, and there was no real plan for her to actually come to power of any, like, you know, consequence, is now in the driver's seat here. And on one hand, it's nice to have somebody that is young enough by you know, political standards, mm-hmm. to be you know, with it, because obviously it's a big step down from Biden. But
if Trump's luck continues the way it has been, what'll happen is Kamala will be doing like a dance routine with a high school, and everybody's like, look at the vibrant, young, attractive vice president, and then tear her ACL.
Yeah, right.
And imagine. Then have to go in like a boot for the rest of the campaign. And Trump will be like, look at that. God likes me and hates Kamala. Right? I mean, that's the luck streak he's on right now. It's like, we don't want that to happen. But
yeah. You know. So I would just say, I will be voting for her. I would have liked to have had a year to kind of get myself together and think about this, which is basically what I've been saying this whole time about him stepping down. I really don't think he should have stepped down, to be honest. I think that this whole thing just goes to show you that the Democrats don't have their asses together. And after this RNC that was all about unity, not unity of the country uniting, but unity of Republicans uniting to kick the Democrats' ass.
What do you think about my analogy to the RNC? Because I watched all four nights.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the karaoke jam and the cable guy.
A little bit. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Like, just freaks and weirdos super into their weird party.
Hulk Hogan. It was pretty strange, I got to be honest. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel the way that I feel about it is essentially like again, I'm not voting for Trump, so I'll vote for her. I have a lot of anger towards Biden for not making this decision sooner, because it's weird to me that all of a sudden he sees the thing that we've all seen. It just felt like this last 2.5 weeks or so.
Muhammad Ali getting his ass kicked by Larry Holmes, though. Like, people.
No, but people tried to keep Muhammad Ali out of the ring. And Muhammad Ali insisted on taking the fight. I also think at that point, Muhammad Ali had money problems, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think that's right.
Oh, well, maybe Joe Biden has money problems. His son has racked up tens of
Larry Holmes
dollars
allegedly, and, like, to this. I think he just died. But up until he died, allegedly, like, felt bad about that fight.
Well, he was like his sparring partner.
Yeah.
Like, early on. So he
and
took
his,
it.
And his hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope to do that one day to one of my heroes. Just actually, my heroes in comedy are dead. Never mind. Yeah, I've already won. I've actually outlived two of my comedy heroes.
Greg Giraldo
and Patrice O'Neill.
Sure.
I've outlived them.
Yeah.
Have still not reached anywhere near what they did.
Oh.
But I've got at least 6 more months.
Yeah.
So I'm happy. I'm excited about Kamala.
I would not say that I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah.
But I
know we get that.
I just don't think she can win, to be honest. But I don't feel it's happening. The train's left the station. You know, I was into her as I'm gonna be, and I'll make it work.
Yeah. I want to get into some of my superficial reasons for liking Kamala Harris. I find her attractive.
She is.
I like that she laughs a lot.
Okay.
You know? And I like that if I were married to her and she became president, all I'd have to do is like go to events.
Yeah.
Like it's the perfect life.
Yeah.
Laugh at my jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Laugh even when I'm not joking.
Yeah.
And, but she, like, I feel like Democrats versus Republicans, like when Republicans have a hot woman who was like, you know, a mess hall cook in the Navy and can put a sentence together, they're like, wow, Republican women can have beauty, brains, and brawn.
Yeah.
They're like, look at Nancy Mace with her big tits talking about like fornicating at the Christian prayer breakfast.
Sure.
That's the future of revenge. You say we're against women. Look at all our great women. Isn't she a hot piece of ass who also can talk?
Yeah.
Whereas when we have it, we like, it's almost like we can't embrace the total package. Like, I feel like Kamala Harris, we're too, like Obama had referred to her when he was president as the most attractive attorney general in the entire country.
Did he say that?
And people were like, what?
Yeah.
There was a little bit of that, like, she's a woman of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure she doesn't mind being good looking either.
Yeah.
But, and I get it. This was pre-Me Too, though. After Me Too, I get, but this is like 2010 or 11. And it was like,
yeah, I guess.
How can you say that?
Yeah.
but I think he probably knew. I don't think he was saying it like Trump would say it to a woman he's never met.
Yeah.
Never known.
Oh, look at those titties.
Look at my granddaughter. She's a piece of ass. But, you know, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But we somehow, I don't think it should be. It's like, yeah, she's, to me, she's sort of a total package, but with better morals than like any of these right wing women.
Yeah.
But no, that's just me. I like to look for the superficial stuff because counts. That's what counts.
Right.
Her substance really doesn't count, or else Donald Trump would be in jail and not running for president for a third time.
Right.
But I am nervous. She's got to pick a VP. Everybody's saying she's got to pick a VP, and it's become a joke. This is like why we're sort of a joke as a country. Everybody's like, straight white guy. Got to be a straight white guy. So that rules out Pete Buttigieg. I would love a Harris Buttigieg ticket. Because it's one of those things. And my friend Rod said it on his show, I think, where it's like, double down. I always thought Hillary Clinton should have. Now, Hillary Clinton did what everybody hated. She picked somebody she believed would govern with her well. Tim Kaine.
Yeah, Tim Kaine.
Experienced senator. But do you know what? Everybody laughed at that. Tim Kaine was one of Obama's final three choices for VP. So Tim
Massachusetts?
Kaine, Virginia.
Virginia.
Okay. But so Tim, like, but nobody ever learned that. So Tim Kaine obviously was somebody of great respect that people thought could actually govern and could be key in that Senate liaison role. But everybody mocked it like it's a terrible choice. Now, if Hillary had chosen like Elizabeth Warren as her VP, I thought it would have been phenomenal. Double down on your strength the way Bill did with Al Gore, young Southern guys. Like they went with that route and it worked. But if she had gone with Warren, I think it would have brought on some of the disillusioned Bernie people. You know, like, hey.
I liked Warren a lot.
Yeah. She's the opposite. Like, to me, she's got substance, and she reminds me of the woman in Back to the Future saying, save the clock tower. She has the energy of that woman. But Hillary went with the choice that we always say we want. Like, now Kamala, I think you just picked her to get elected to win that demographic. Okay? And it worked.
Right.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton picked the person that she and Obama, 8 years apart, thought would make a great vice president.
But is that, I mean, in this day and age, is that really that scrutinized, the Tim Scott pick? Tim Scott, what did I say?
Tim Kaine.
Tim Kaine. Jesus Christ,
Tim Scott is the most embarrassing black, like,
yes.
He should have a Dos Equis commercial.
Yes, yeah.
Where he's like, I'm the most embarrassing black man in the world, Donald Trump.
I got confused because I know you do the impression. Yeah. That was my bad. I'm looking at you. But yeah, I mean, is that, I don't think that that's not the reason she lost that.
No, but I remember seeing people criticize, you know, then they micro criticize every decision. And it's like, should you have picked Tim Kaine? Maybe you should have gone with blah, blah, blah. But what if Bernie? What if you gone with Bernie? And with Kamala, she now has to pick, like they've already said, they've narrowed it down to four people, according to CNN sources. Mark Kelly from Arizona, mm-hmm. senator, astronaut. I'm big into astronaut shit, so I like that.
Yeah.
I think astronauts are some of our fucking most awesome people.
I agree.
I don't like losing a Senate seat in Arizona, tossing that up, unless I don't know how they select a new senator, if it's the governor. But okay, so Mark Kelly fits the bill perfectly. Look, he's battleground state, white, no popular, no problems. Okay.
Probably has a gun if he's in Arizona.
Yeah. Although, actually, bad taste. His wife was a famous victim of gun violence, Gabby Giffords.
Oh, I didn't know that that was his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, so, my bad. Maybe he doesn't have it. He probably doesn't have a gun.
Would you like to apologize now?
Yeah, my bad. Sorry, Gabby.
Okay.
former senator, right?
Congressman?
Representative.
Yeah. Then the next one is Andy Beshear, governor of Kentucky, who's a very popular red state governor. You know, I hate to say this. I'm like, stay as the governor of Kentucky, like doing a good job and like securing, you know, some decency in Mitch McConnell's state.
Yeah.
And I don't think he has enough name recognition where it's going to matter. And Kentucky is not some big electoral prize. Josh Shapiro, governor, Jewish governor of Pennsylvania, is like probably at the top of a lot of people's list because he's kind of a centrist. He's in the battleground state, really. But I would argue if they could make Stars of David on posters insulting Hillary Clinton's fundraising, what will they do with the black woman, Jewish man ticket?
Yeah. Especially in the heat of this Israeli debacle.
Right. Now, I don't know where he sits on that, how progressive he might have a very sensible take. I don't know. I'm sure that's being vetted like crazy.
Yep.
Because Kamala Harris is actually a step back from Biden, a step back from Israel and a step towards some of the disillusioned young people. You know, even if she gets a few thousand in each battleground state, that's something.
Yeah.
She's not as tied to that as he is. And she has spoken out on it like a little more forcefully than he did.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I hate to do the thing where I go, well, so I can't have Pete Buttigieg on the ticket, but we can have Josh Shapiro. And I think either would be great. But it's like, if we're going to do the prejudices of the American people calculation, then maybe it has to be a straight white guy.
Yeah.
And there was a fourth, nobody said Gretchen Whitmer, but I would think she would be, you know,
Michigan, right?
Yeah, Michigan governor. That would be sort of the doubling down on history kind of move. But I'm forgetting who the fourth finalist, if you will, at this stage was. But I think it's sad that she's got to pick. She's got to do the same thing that Biden did, except because she can pick from the more traditional roles. And I would, you know, Mark Kelly might be the guy because the vice president is kind of a Senate liaison and he's a senator. But then you lose him in the Senate. And then we get nothing done when she doesn't have the Senate, but she has the presidency. But I think. I think it's going to get pretty ugly. They're just tackling her laugh. They're going after her laugh, which is a good sign, but they're going to keep digging. And I remember seeing, some right wing comedians a couple of years ago talking about comedians who have advertised their own sexual proclivities quite boldly.
Yeah.
Then calling her like some hoe who slept her way to the top. Cause she, I guess, dated the governor of the mayor of, I want to say, Oakland when she was like an up and coming prosecutor.
Yeah.
But I'm all in for Kamala.
There you go.
Harris.
Yeah.
Ignore the website.
I mean, I will say it's good. I think it's It seems like Roe is a big issue that the Dems can like actually be strong on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be good to have a woman at the helm kind of speaking to all of that, because it didn't seem like it was really, I mean, that was one of the things in the debate that Biden kind of got ransacked on in a way. Right. That first debate, Trump pulled that whole thing about pulling the babies out and killing them.
Well, Trump started, he started with the, every person, and I mean every person, wanted a gun. They all said, every single person said, get rid of Roe, it's bad. Yeah. Leave it to the states. Everybody, left, right, religious, not really, like,
yeah,
total fiction. Yeah, like a total fiction.
But I think Biden's response was, just looking around. Right.
And then he was like, and they're taking the babies out and they're killing the babies and they're already out. I think here's the sad thing for Kamala Harris. If she does get to debate Trump, and he might not, but I don't think he wants to look weak or chicken shit. Yeah. I think his toxic masculinity is her best.
Yeah,
her
agree.
Best weapon.
Yeah, I agree.
But you have to walk, like Hillary Clinton mopped the floor with him. Like, if you watch those debates.
Yes, but he was very entertaining during those debates.
No, and that's the thing, because we're not a serious country.
Right.
So Hillary and the sad thing is, and I'm going to bring this all the way back to like slave times. You know, the most dangerous thing was like a slave who could read.
Right.
And if you helped a white person in Jim Crow, or it was worse than ignoring them, because it was like, you think you're better than me?
Right.
Like, I'm a white.
Yeah.
And you're, hey.
Yeah.
You think you don't touch me?
Yeah.
But sir, you fell in the middle of the street. You don't back talk me, Lynch.
Right.
Like, and I'm saying that because the misogyny and the racism that we still have today, Hillary Clinton, it would be funny if she fucked up some things in the debate, but it's really annoying when she doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, right. When she crushes a debate and knows everything. What a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Like, it's a classic, you can't win.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's better to be like, oh, humanize yourself. Don't be so smart. Don't be so much smarter and clearer and well-versed than Trump. Be a little bit smarter, you know, because then you look like a show-off, and nobody likes a show-off. Really, even for the fucking presidency? No. And Kamala Harris has to walk the double line of a little bit of black male misogyny, a whole lot of racism, and a whole lot of white misogyny.
Right.
Where you now are trying to be the competent, charming, not a know-it-all, but well-versed and smart, tough, but not a bitch. I'm turning into George Carlin right now. Tough, not a bitch.
Yeah. But I think that's the thing. That's why this is so tricky, is because I think if this was a normal election, it would be kind of a different story.
She's going to twerk that glass ceiling. I'm just waiting for somebody racist to make that joke on Fox News.
Yeah. I of course, Gutfeld, looking at you.
Looks like she's twerking on the glass ceiling. Cat Timpf?
But that's why I think it's tricky, because I think that if Hillary had debated any normal person, she probably wins that election, to be honest. If Hillary versus Jeb Bush,
because you'd be in jail.
Right. It's just that like you have this kind of like that debate. I remember those debates specifically, and it was just kind of like, it was almost like a frustrating pain point for Hillary that like, in a way, he wasn't taking it. Not that he wasn't taking it as seriously, but he was just doing his Trump thing. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. I think there is like a value in being kind of loose when you debate him, not being like a scumbag like him. But I kind of think that's why Biden did do well enough in those, when that, what was it, one debate last year, last election during 2020.
Will you shut up?
Yeah. You got to play it like a little loose, you know? And I think that's going to be in question whether she can do that. It's not that I don't think that she's necessarily qualified. It's just kind of like if she's debating Ted Cruz or something, I think that she could handle that. But it's just with Trump, I don't know that there's a lot of, there might be politicians that are coming in now that like post-Trump that can deal with it because the Trump factor is happening. But I just worry about that as just like, I honestly, when you were mentioning Buttigieg as a potential VP. My mind went to like a VP debate where I think he could handle that dude Vance.
He can handle anybody pretty much.
Yeah.
Pete Buttigieg is just like, he is the gay Obama, because Obama, obviously black.
Yeah.
But white mom.
Yep.
Harvard.
Yep.
Light skin, like relatively light skinned,
yeah,
on the lighter side, not necessarily a light skinned guy, but right, lighter. And just classy family. Yeah. There was nothing like Trump. I joked, and it didn't do well, this joke, but I said, Trump is the first black stereotype president.
Yeah, that means yes.
And yet
that
he's
is true.
White, so they love him.
Yeah.
It's like, treats women like shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Three baby mamas.
Yeah.
You know, bad with, you know, irresponsible, yeah, with his money.
Horrible, gaudy
taste.
Spends
it all on gold.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Like, if Trump were... I've said this. If Trump were black, he would have been shot by the cops when he was 20.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he would have... We'd not be here.
Yeah.
And Obama did everything. Obama, if he were white, would have replaced Reagan and Lincoln for Republicans, because he would have embodied everything that we're supposed to embody about America.
Yeah.
So Kamala Harris, I just think, has her work cut out for her, and I'm available, Kamala, for both a hall pass and debate prep.
Wow.
But that's a big offer. That's a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Doug, the second gentleman, I hope he doesn't mind.
Doug Emhoff.
And he may not watch. But she's got to thread this needle that's so unfortunate, because it's not fair.
Yeah.
And it's not right.
Oh, yeah. She has a tall order, and I do feel bad for her. I think this is like, she's set up to lose, and I think that sucks.
Because he can go to the Hillary playbook.
Yeah.
And no disrespect to VP Harris. On a purely policy debate, I don't want to say intellect, that'll seem mean, but I think Hillary Clinton is just a bona fide, brilliant, genius woman. Nobody's going to outdo Hillary Clinton in a debate. Mm-hmm. So she won't, Kamala might not come with all the data points and all the, like, the right answers every time, but he will use the same bullying, talking over.
Yeah, of course.
Quips.
Definitely.
That you need to be prepared. Like, when you finish an answer, that's because you destroyed the border.
Yeah. Right.
And then your time's up and it's like, what?
Right.
Well, what? Ask Willie Brown.
Yeah.
Okay. Does your husband know about that you slept your way to your jab? Right, like, I mean, why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he go there?
Yeah.
No, I agree.
So I look forward to donating to her, and hopefully I can get some merch. I'm not donating until there's merch. Come on.
You got it. Something's got to be in it for you.
Come on.
Yeah.
Democracy saved. Sure. That's worth something, but also a t-shirt, please.
Yeah.
I'm running out of t-shirts I can come on the podcast with.
Right.
But I hope she wins. I hope, you know, and I think also Trump is losing. He showed it in his speech at the convention. He is losing a step. You know, he's not losing it the same way Joe Biden lost a step, but he doesn't have the same gusto anymore. And at 78, 6 months from now, might be feel like 5 years.
It's very different. A clip was circulating of him in that first Republican debate in 2015 with Jeb Bush. I mean, listen,
very good energy, Jeb.
Yeah. He lit everybody up. I mean, it was kind of amazing to like look back at and just be like, oh, I remember this. He had me intrigued at that point.
No, I felt guilty because he made me watch politics like sports.
Dude, I know.
And
he had that one soundbite where like they were, it was like 10 people on stage and he was like, listen, all these guys are corrupt and I know because I pay them. And I just remember being like, what? Whoa.
Now, I'm going to say, and I look at him the same way I look at Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
I love seeing a piece of shit fuck up the night for other pieces of shit.
That's exactly what he was doing.
Which is what he was doing. And I thought, well, there's no way that this guy's not a serious candidate, but I love seeing all these piece of shit Republicans just flustered and like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, trying to do whatever the
Little Marco.
What are the Queensberry? What's the like the rules of, you know, whatever they say for like dignified fighting? I forget what the term is, but it was great. But then he won. You know what I mean? And it's the same way I feel like watching when I was watching Vivek Ramaswamy in this year's debates, just attack Nikki Haley so viciously to the point where she said, "You are scum."
Yeah.
Like, and he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like he's,
he is scum.
He is scum.
Yeah.
And I just think, I can't believe, to me, it's like, hey, we now have a younger candidate with some experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a big deal.
Yeah. Like, no, I agree.
And now it's going to become, well, no, she is younger, but she's not this.
How young is she? She's
59.
Can't be that young. 59. Yeah. That's not like young.
I know, but she looks good. Know?
Yeah. She looks great.
And I love, it's like she's half black, half Indian.
Yeah.
And I saw a poll today that like Biden was going to win 53% of women of color or something at this in a recent poll, which seems extremely low.
Yeah.
And Kamala is 63, polling at 63%. And I was like, 63% for the first woman president who's knocking out two of the three people of color categories?
Sure.
Jeez. I'm looking at you, Latin women. Hopefully when you go in that booth, Poppy isn't standing next to you, making sure that you support, you know, Jefe Trump. Okay. Make your own decisions.
Yeah.
You're hot. You can do it. Don't listen. Don't listen to that guy who's been bullying you and telling you to vote MAGA.
Who'd you vote for?
That's racist. And then Asian. She'd be the first Asian in the White. She is the first Asian in the White House.
Yeah.
And right. She'd be the first Asian president. Come on.
Come on, Jack.
Yeah, come on, man. Hey, you. And I stand by Joe Biden's. Hey, man, you don't vote for me. You ain't black. I love that, like, black Republicans will bring that up and be, like, so offended. And it's like, you've been, black Republicans, you've been hearing that from everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, get out of here. Like, Joe Biden was the first one to call you a fucking sellout.
Yeah.
And for Trump.
Yeah.
That's not ethics or principles or, like, you know, that's, you are a sellout.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, man. And I like that he said it. Yeah. I like that he felt, I know to some it would be offensive, but no, I completely agreed with him.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what the fuck he meant.
Yeah.
And then some fucking Byron Donalds will be like, Joe Biden says I'm not black. I'm a black man. And I just happen to love Trump. Fuck off. Anyway, Kamala Harris 2024, I'm all in. And I hope she picks a good VP. I would like it to be Buttigieg, but he doesn't seem like he's on the list. And he's also somebody who's been in the government, like federal government, for the last 4 years. But I think Mark Kelly is probably the guy. You know, you want somebody in the Senate, I think, not somebody who's going to have to learn on the job in their own way. So we will see. But after this break, we'll be with some fun stuff. Comedy Talk, Mike's favorite.
What's up, Mikey?
Benny, it's been a minute, buddy.
Yeah, I've been busy at these Trump rallies.
Right.
You know, I actually offered my services as like part-time security.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're coming after my president, bro.
Of course. Yeah.
And you see the guy who came after him, this fucking nerd.
You wouldn't have let that guy near President Trump.
I see that. First of all, I see fucking McLovin coming anywhere near a MAGA rally. I go, well, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
What are you, the science club is that way, you fucking pencil neck. And so what they tried to take down my president, but it was disgusting. And now we put Sleepy Joe to sleep.
Yeah.
How about he sleeps with the fishes?
Yeah, like Luca Brasi.
Who?
What?
Who's that?
Luca Brasi, the Godfather.
Oh, you like that stuff that criminalizes our people?
Yeah, you don't?
My father said, don't watch that trash.
Oh, come on. Vinny, you're from Jersey. You like The Godfather.
I never seen it.
Get out of here. I don't believe you. You're jerking my fucking chain, Vinny.
Nah, I don't watch The Godfather.
All right.
It makes our people look very bad.
Okay.
These awful Italians, Coppola and Scorsese, they make our people. And you know De Niro's only 25% Italian.
Is that right?
That's why he's such a woke piece of shit.
Right.
Bye-bye, De Niro. Maniscalco, that's an Italian. You know, and I didn't like it when he got shot in The Irishman.
Yeah.
De Niro killed a real Italian.
Well, he was playing a part.
It's disgusting. I think it was, you know, there's always a little truth, you know, a little truth in the fucking fiction.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk about this. I don't even know what we call her. We got to come up with new nicknames for these people.
Who are you?
They're mixing and matching now. It used to be, is the eggplant, Kamala.
Yeah.
But now it's like curry.
what do we call this? Steph Curry? That's pretty good. That's a good nickname. Hey, Steph Curry, because Steph, it sounds like Stephanie, but Curry for the Indian.
I guess, yeah. I guess it's a reach, but it works, I guess.
I think that, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I think she's not a bad looking broad.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I told you one time, I got like a Puerto Rican on the side, so I'm not afraid to like, you know, dip in the gravy a little bit, if you know what I mean.
I feel you.
A little milk in the coffee.
Yeah.
But I don't like this one. I don't like her.
What's wrong with her?
You laugh. You ever hear this fucking lady laugh?
Yeah, what's the big deal? It's a laugh.
What are we going to do? You see Trump? Trump doesn't laugh with these leaders. You ever see Trump laugh with these guys? No, he's strong.
So you don't think a leader should ever laugh?
Not like that.
Not in public.
I mean, if you're watching like some funny comedy, you've right. seen Sebastian Maniscalco.
Of course.
Yeah. Like at the Garden,
right.
you go fucking, you better laugh yeah. or else I'm going to think there's something wrong with your head.
Right. Or Pat Cooper. Rest in peace.
Who's Pat Cooper?
Another great Italian-American comedian.
Cooper?
Cooper, yeah. Pat Cooper.
Why the fuck was he Cooper?
I think it's a stage name. 60s.
You think I like that?
You don't like that? Because he wasn't being himself. He wasn't being a Cajun.
Cooper Tuzzi. I'm going to have all his albums, but Cooper?
I'm going to look it up. I'll see with
Pat Cooper?
Yeah, yeah.
Ashamed of his heritage? Somebody, he probably watched The Godfather a bunch. But no, I think at Nick DiPaolo, now that's a comedian.
Yeah.
That's a comedian. That's a comedian.
Yeah.
Okay. You looking up Pat Cooper?
Yeah, I was going to check to see if he had an Italian
basically,
last
you know
name.
I'm voting for Trump. Okay. And I like this guy, J.D. Vance. You know, but notice we still can't get an Italian. Where are the Italians?
You want to know Pat Cooper's actual name?
What was his real name?
Born Pasquale Vito Caputo.
Oh. So he was ashamed four times. He had a beautiful, yeah. full Italian name, and he was ashamed four times. Disgusting.
Yeah.
But I don't like, you know, because Kamala almost, she could pass. For a second, I was so hopeful. I'm never going to vote Democrat. They're too woke and, you know, not going to do that. But I was
of course.
Like, you know, there was an angle where I was like, is she Sicilian?
She looks like she could be. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, boy. This is going to be a tough one. You give me a Sicilian broad versus Trump.
Right.
You know? And then all of a sudden they said, no, she's half black, half Indian. I said, and I'm full not interested. So, and then she's got her accountant or whatever, a stage manager is her husband.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it always is. You're like Tina Turner with the white like manager husband or whatever. Yeah. But after Ike.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember Ike?
I do remember Ike, yeah.
The guy was tough.
Yeah. Yeah, Ike was tough.
But anyway, I'm just here, basically. I'm not going to do the punchdown of the week. You know, I feel like with that Pat Cooper news, I don't want to talk comedy at all now.
Yeah.
I feel like you just ruined my night. But I'm just here to fully endorse Donald Trump.
Of course, right.
Obviously, I wasn't going to vote for Sleepy Joe, but I'm not voting for Kooky Kamala either. Okay?
Is that what they're going to call her, you think?
I mean, this is a family show, I've been told, so I don't want to say what we're calling her in the neighborhood, but, you know, it's not too nice, okay, to be honest, yeah. But we don't do PC in the neighborhood, so.
Of course.
Good luck, Mr. Trump, President, sir, and Koala Bear Harris. You're going to lose like a dog, like our president says. So that's it. I'm endorsing Trump.
Okay. Well, thanks for stopping by, Vinny. It was always fun to have you in here, and you really remind me of home in more ways than one. Did you see Vinny on the way out? JL?
Yeah, he stormed out of here. He saw, yeah. I think he saw the Biden Harris shirt.
Yeah, well, he thinks you're a pussy anyway. But now,
him and Trump, I think. But you know what? You can tell as much by a guy by his friends and by the enemies he makes.
It's true.
So I don't need those guys.
Right.
But I do have a great punch down of the week. Speaking of people I don't need in my life.
Lay it on me.
I posted the night that Kid Rock, Hulk Hogan, Donald Trump, and Dana White were all speaking at the RNC. I tweeted on a night where I was just on fire on Twitter.
Yeah.
Tonight's RNC theme is white men who say the hard R. That was good.
Yeah, that's good.
And one of my followers wrote, not hard N. They say that word a lot.
Oof. That's a whiff.
Oh, how bad is that?
Yeah, that's bad.
I mean, that's bad.
Yeah.
And it's not quite a punch up, but it kind of is. Like, they weren't sure what the hard R was, but they were like, watch this. I'm going to talk about the N-word. That's edgy and funny.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you think the hard R? You obviously don't know what the hard R means.
Yeah. This is just a person that's completely lost.
Ah, fan of mine.
Yeah.
I wish they would find their way to some merch or to my special on Amazon Prime, Half Blackface. We got another 5-star review this week. Are you guys taking turns? I'm getting one new review a week.
That's better than none.
It is, but it's very odd. It's almost like everybody's pooled together and said, okay, everybody, you'll take July 10th.
Yeah.
You'll do August 3rd. Everybody, watch it. Get on Amazon. Give it a review. And I have, before we finish up this show, I have a ton of shows coming up. Philadelphia, huge show in Philadelphia. I really need people to show up to that one. August 15th. And then in September, I'm in Newark, St. Paul, Minnesota, Rutherford, New Jersey. October, I'm in New York City, Chicago, and then Hartford in the beginning of November. And more shows being added, but a lot of shows. Princeton in November, Harrisburg in December. Shows are starting to come around and pile up. So please, if you're in any of those places or know anybody in those places, get tickets. Tell them to get tickets. Share a video. Share a stand-up thing with them. Get them interested. Got to sell tickets to these shows, but Philly is the first one up. So if you know people in Philly, please get them to buy tickets. Punchline in Philly, August 15th. I was going to review a special today, folks. But when I ran it by standards and practices, also known as producer Mike, he made a compelling case for why I shouldn't.
I think I did, yeah.
And because I'm not clearly one of these whore comedians who's just like, I got to make content no matter who's paying me, where I got to do it, or what I have to say. I'm not that guy. So to spare Mike some discomfort, I'm not reviewing the special I watched this week. I will tell you, was it horrible? No. Was it particularly good? No. But for Mike's sake, I'm not going to review it.
And I appreciate that, Jay.
But if you check out my Patreon, I'm going to tear that one a new asshole. with righteous vengeance for not being able to express myself on this show, which is apparently now cancel culture with Mike Coscarelli.
It's not. I chose, once we ran it by me, to ask you to not do it while I'm in the room. That's all. Because I can't in good faith. Listen, I'm very well liked in this industry. I got friends all over the place.
What's that like?
It's kind of
either
nice.
One of those things. It's, friends or well liked in the industry. I'll take the last part first.
But yeah, so I just didn't want to. I just as
like,
you,
am I going to be your Doc Holliday at the next fucking Sweetback
you are.
Studio?
You already are. There's not gonna be.
Wyatt Coscarelli and his tuberculosis-laden monster, J.L. Covan.
I got a lot of friends. I don't.
All right, so who's the guy that I'm going to pick on at the party twirling a cup? Who's the Michael Biehn in your crew my Val Kilmer?
Well, they'll be there, I'm sure. And I'm sure it'll be a woman.
What have I done other than be a decent human being and a good comedian? What are my crimes against this industry?
It's just a cruel world out there, JL.
You know, they're lucky. We'll end on this to all these people who don't like me. They're lucky.
Nobody has said anything about you to me.
They're lucky that I don't wield myself with the rage that burns inside me. That I present as mostly a gentle giant and a caring giant, even if I get mad rhetorically at things. But okay, so Mike's Doc Holliday. I'm gonna show up to your birthday party, even if it's 100 degrees, if you have in a duster.
That would be great.
And a thin mustache. All right. Well, this has been fun. guys, check out, and just another plug, check out my Patreon if you don't mind. If you got a couple bucks to spare, I put a lot of good stuff there, and I try to make it worth the value, and the value is only $3, and I'm doing at least $4 a month worth of content.
Sure.
Okay, so you're practically robbing me if you join it, but you should. Other than that, Mike, housekeeping for the show and the Slickback Studios network.
Well, we have some standard housekeeping here over at Rain on Your Parade. Obviously, if you're watching the show on YouTube, we appreciate it and we thank you very much. But we would love for you to leave a comment under the video. It helps us with the algorithm. Many of you have just caught on and you'll just leave a comment that says, I'm here for the algorithm, or Mike told me to do this for the algorithm. Even that's fine. Honestly, it's appreciated. But we have some discourse sometimes in those comments. JL and I, if the comment's good enough and worth it, we'll write back and say something. So if you want to address us directly, that's the place to do it. And if you are watching on YouTube, you can also go over to the audio side.
We're missing. I just want to interrupt you there because unlike my other podcast, Making Podcasts Great Again, which you should check out, especially if you're a fan of my Trump impression, we've made a push with our listeners and we've gotten like 9 5-star reviews in the last 2 weeks.
That's great. Yeah.
We've gotten no new reviews for this show in like 3 weeks.
So guys, hop on it.
I haven't checked Spotify. I know we have like a decent amount of reviews on Spotify.
But Spotify, you don't leave, when you leave a review on Spotify, you don't leave a...
You just leave stars,
yes,
right?
Okay. Yeah. So Apple is where you can go and you can leave a nice... something nice about the show.
Yeah, if you enjoy the show, which obviously if you're still on it right now, we're almost 50 episodes in.
Yeah.
You like the variety, you like the different topics. Get on Apple and Apple Podcasts and leave a nice review. Like, it'd be great if this week, and then this costs you nothing, if you've watched Half Blackface, leave a 5-star review on Amazon.com, go to your computer, and if you like the podcast and haven't left a review, go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. That is 2 minutes to 3 minutes of work, costs you nothing, and will make me happy and will help both my special and the podcast.
That's right. So essentially, that's all I have. Just keep listening, keep subscribing, keep liking on YouTube, tell a friend. And
support Slickback Studios.
That's right.
Yeah. Like their YouTube page.
That's right. And Slickback _ Studios on Instagram.
All right.
That's it.
Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mike. And we will see you next Thursday.